May it please the Court, I'm Isabel Koprovich, and I'm here for the law offices of Clay Hernandez.
I'm sorry, I'm still having trouble hearing you.
Okay, is that better?
A little better.
A little better? Yeah. Okay. Start over. I'm Isabel Koprovich for the law offices of Clay Hernandez. We represent the appellant defendant, Jay Gilliland.
Okay.
With leave of the Court, I'll reserve 3 minutes.
Okay, and the clock counts down, so keep track. When it says two, that means you have two left.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Unless the Court has questions to start with, I'll proceed with my argument. Jay Gilliland pled guilty because he was induced to do so from inadequate advice from his counsel. He was told that although he was pleading guilty, there was still an avenue by which he could challenge his Fourth Amendment, his belief that his Fourth Amendment rights were violated in the warrant process that was used. As soon as he discovered that this wasn't true, that he would, by pleading guilty, that he lost all right to have a federal court hear his Fourth Amendment claims, he asked his lawyer to please file, I want to withdraw from my plea. His lawyer didn't do that. His lawyer admitted to the district court that he was asked to do it within 3 weeks of the change of plea, and that he didn't do it immediately, and that at some point along the way he completely forgot.
Did he decide that he really wanted to attack the federal case? Is that what this was all about? That he wanted to make a direct challenge to the validity of the warrants in federal court, so that their district court would grant a suppression motion, suppress all the evidence, and therefore possibly result in a dismissal of the federal case? Is that what that was all about?
It's my understanding from speaking with Mr. Gilliland, as well as from the record, that he wanted the federal court to rule on whether or not his Fourth Amendment rights had been violated in the warrant process. And if that was the...
Well, did he want to try and affect the outcome of the state court proceedings?
I think that may have been a secondary motivation. I think that the standard for withdrawing from the police...
He seemed to, as I read the transcript of the hearing on the motion to withdraw, his whole purpose seemed to be to have a federal court hopefully rule favorably on a motion to suppress evidence taken from the warrants, and then use that to somehow or other influence the state court.
I think that I understand that was part of the motivation as well. But I think under the standard for Rule 11, all that's needed to withdraw from a plea is a fair and just reason related to the federal case. He wanted to have a federal court hear that claim on the Fourth Amendment. Now, whether it was through a motion to suppress, whether it was through, as his lawyer falsely told him, there's this other way that you can have your motion to suppress heard, I think he provided a reason, that a fair and just reason. He wanted those claims heard by a federal court.
What is another
motivation.
As a practical matter, what's at stake here? Obviously, he has a sentence in state prison that is going to be his natural life plus a few. If the conviction in federal court stands, will he serve part of his time in federal court, or will that only happen, after he finishes his state sentence?
It's my understanding that he's in federal custody now. I mean, when we've corresponded with him, it has been to a federal prison.
But you may not know the answer to my question, so I want to ask it carefully. If we sustain his federal conviction, that is to say, if we say he cannot withdraw his plea, will he serve time only in state prison, or will he first serve his federal sentence before he serves his state sentence?
If you sustain his conviction,
yes,
it's my understanding that he will serve his federal sentence and then move on to serve his state.
And your understanding is based on what?
based on the fact that I think he's in federal custody now.
Oh, in other words, you don't really know.
That's true.
Okay.
I guess. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
But whether we affirm his federal sentence or not, he will be in some form of custody, state or federal, for the rest of his life?
Yes, unless the state court would make a new decision on a Rule 32 or on a appeal to the Supreme Court of Arizona.
Yeah. The Court of Appeal of Arizona affirmed the trial court's, the Superior Court's ruling, correct?
Yes, sir.
And was there a petition for hearing filed in the Arizona Supreme Court?
I don't know.
You don't know? Is your office representing him on that direct appeal?
No. Mr. Kendall is his lawyer for that.
Was a Rule 32 was a post-conviction challenge filed in the state court?
I don't think it has been yet. It's my understanding the appeal was affirmed, and that's
okay.
All I know about his state case. Mr. Kendall was his lawyer in the federal and the state case.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Mr. Kendall, his lawyer in the state case, was his lawyer up until the appeal when our office took over.
So the same Mr. Kendall who told him you can challenge your, you can bring your warrant challenge on a 2254, which is wrong.
Yes.
Was representing him in the state court proceeding.
That's correct.
As far as you know, is still representing him in the state court proceeding?
As far as I know, he still is, yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether there is any additional action that's being taken right now, but
you know, when the motion was made to withdraw the plea, there was I didn't see anything in there that suggested to the federal district court that there was a substantial constitutional issue that needed to be litigated over the validity of the warrants.
What I see in that proceeding, in the motion, or the hearing on the motion to withdraw, is Mr. Kendall saying, my client, I told him I was wrong. I told him he would still have a way to challenge these Fourth Amendment claims. That's very important to him. I'll agree Mr. Kendall didn't do a good job of making it particularly clear, but I think Judge Roll understood that basically what the defendant wanted was to be able to have a motion to suppress, because in Judge Roll's response, he's saying, hey, you are a federal agent. You know how motions to suppress work. So I think Judge Roll understood that that's what was at stake, that that's what was being asked for, although it was couched in this more narrow term of being a 2254 and not being able to use that. The real issue for Mr. Gilliland is he wants the federal court to hear his Fourth Amendment claims. That's his basic constitutional right. And he was denied that opportunity, and that's what he wants restored. And I think by itself, that's a fair and just reason. Whatever other motivations there may have been, whatever may be going on in his mind about what could happen possibly, it's a fair and just reason to say, my lawyer told me I was preserving an avenue.
Okay. You're down to a little over a minute. Why don't we hear from the other side, and then you'll have a chance to respond.
Thank you.
Pardon me? Oh, we're going to adjust the camera, so hang on just a moment.
Judge Hall is having a little trouble seeing both of you on the bed.
Okay. There we go.
Okay, we'll leave it like that.
That looks pretty good.
That's good.
Okay. Okay, all set. When you're ready.
May it please the Court. Michelle Spavin, Assistant United States Attorney for the District of Arizona. The District Court did not abuse its discretion when it denied the appellant's motion to withdraw his guilty plea. The appellant has not shown that proper legal advice would plausibly motivate a reasonable person in the appellant's position not to have pled. He has not shown a fair and just reason under Rule 11 to withdraw from his plea.
Let me ask you this, the same question I asked your opposing counsel. If we agree with you, if we affirm the district judge, which then has the consequence of course, affirming the federal conviction and sentence,
yes, ma'am.
Will he serve any part of his sentence, any part of his life in federal court? Will he serve the federal sentence first?
Yes, Your Honor. District Court Roll sentenced the defendant to ultimately 135 months, which was concurrent to 130 months on the two cases that he pled to. He pled to possession with intent to distribute cocaine. I believe he was sentenced to 130 months. Possession of child pornography was 130 months, sentenced to be served concurrently, and that federal sentence to be served concurrently with the state court sentence, but the appellant is in federal custody in Illinois and serving his sentence and his 135-month sentence initially in federal custody and then would be returned to the custody of the state of Arizona to serve the remainder of his 5,975 years that would be served pursuant to the state court sentence.
And I don't think there's much in the record as to whether or not the conditions of federal custody are better or worse than the conditions of Arizona custody. I mean, I can guess at it, but I see nothing in the record that tells me this.
Your Honor, the only indication in the record that I might see would be in the transcript regarding the sentencing where the defendant was sentenced in the federal court. There were some issues that Mr. Kendall had raised on behalf of Mr. Gilliland, that there had been numerous death threats and that he'd been in, quote-unquote, the hole and had been in solitary confinement due to some security issues regarding his custody in the state court case. But I would be candid with the court. I'm unaware of any issues in that regard while he's serving his federal sentence in federal custody.
I see. But it's possible that, in fact, it would make a material difference to him where he is serving his time for these 135 months.
I suppose in theory it would, Your Honor. That wasn't something that was necessarily raised by the appellant.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what's at stake practically here, because obviously this man will be in custody for the rest of his life.
And I would agree with defense counsel, barring any substantive change from the Arizona State Court's position. And I would, if Your Honors would indulge me, although it's not indicated in the record, I do know the status of the appellate proceedings in the Arizona State
Court. Well, I'm sure it's something we could take judicial notice of, so why don't you tell us?
Mr. Kendall, who was representing the appellant not only on the federal district court case but also the state case, he is continuing to represent the appellant in the Arizona State Court, and he filed a petition for review to the Arizona Supreme Court first in April 27th of 2009 that was stricken for some material errors, I guess, procedurally, and then he refiled that. He was given 30 days to refile that, and it was filed on May 28th of 2009.
And that's a direct appeal?
Yes, to the Arizona Supreme Court from the appeal from the Arizona Court of Appeals opinion, which is, I think, in the supplemental excerpt of record. I think it starts page 149.
Okay. Well, let me put the argument to you that I hear from the other side. It may make a material difference to him whether or not his federal conviction is set aside. But let's take as a given the assumption for the moment that it does make a difference to him where he is incarcerated, and it's possible, I guess, that his Arizona state convictions will eventually be overturned. So let's take that as a premise for the question. Take it further as a premise for the question that he is an ordinary litigant, unlearned in the ways of the law. His lawyer tells him, listen, you're trying to get at these warrants and the legality of the searches, or the searches, and the way you're going to do it is we're going to do it on a 2254. That turns out to be totally wrong. But he pled based upon that advice. He learns that that advice is wrong, and he now knows the only way he's going to challenge them in the federal court is to make a challenge directly in federal court. Why is it fair to him to stick him with the plea that he entered into based upon flatly erroneous legal advice that makes a material difference to him?
Your Honor, I would disagree that it makes a material difference to him in the federal case.
Because?
Because if the appellant were to have, there would not be a reasonable person who would withdraw from his plea in the federal case based on the totality of the effect that would have on the proceedings in the federal case. If the defendant were to go back to district court and open himself back up to proceedings in the federal case, he would lose the substantial benefit from the plea agreement and ultimately wind up in the exact same position that he was prior to entering into the plea. He's essentially trying to attack the state court case through the federal avenue. And
but what basis do you have to say that? The reason I'm responding in this way is a very common form of plea is to take a plea but to save out, for example, a Fourth Amendment question. And how do you know that the plea would be less favorable if he pled subject to reserving on appeal his Fourth Amendment claim?
Your Honor, I apologize. I'm not sure I understand the question. I know in this
particular case. Well, what you're saying to me is he got a really good deal on his plea. And if he backs out of the plea, he's not going to get such a good deal.
Yes,
or would not have gotten such a good deal. How do I know that, given that a fairly common form of plea, in which pretty good deals are offered, is I plead guilty subject only to one condition, and that is I get to appeal my Fourth Amendment claim. And that's what he wants to do, is appeal his Fourth Amendment claim.
Well, Your Honor, I believe that there's a portion in the plea agreement. I would note for the court, I believe that it's on supplemental excerpt of record, page 46, where the defendant specifically waives pretrial motions to suppress as part of the plea agreement.
I understand that. But you're telling me it doesn't make any difference to him because, or rather you're saying, what you're saying is that, listen, if he backs out of this plea and he starts at it again, if he wants to take a plea from here forward, he's going to get a worse deal. And if he goes to trial, he's going to get a worse deal. How do I know he's going to get a worse deal if he pleads out but simply saves his Fourth Amendment claim for appeal?
Your Honor, I suppose that we wouldn't, although ultimately the relief that the defendant has always claimed that he has sought is review strictly for its effect on the state court case. And the Arizona Court of Appeals has already said that no matter what, whether or not the federal warrants were valid or not, the Arizona Court of Appeals held that the good faith reliance that the Santa Cruz County officers had for their warrant, which was the only warrant that affected their case, warrant four of the stream of four warrants, that their good faith reliance on the federal warrants would still stand for the state case, irrespective of what.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with you, or I'm inclined to agree with you, that if the only thing he's saying is, listen, I want to challenge it here because I think it'll have some effect on my state court case, that strikes me as insufficient ground on which to withdraw the plea. I mean, I'm with you on that point. But what I'm more concerned about is, well, is there anything in the record that suggests that he was trying to back out of the plea because he wished to challenge on the Fourth Amendment grounds solely with respect to what might happen to him in federal court?
Not based on my reading of the record, Your Honor. It appears that the focus on the motion to withdraw and the transcript for the hearing for the motion to withdraw focuses strictly about the federal case's effect on the state court case. I believe that supplement of excerpt of record, say 86, defense counsel even says, we were concerned about what was the federal case's bearing on the state case.
Right.
There's no indication.
Okay. That means when you stand up, if you can point me to something in front of the district judge that says what I'm concerned about is not only the effect on the state court proceeding, but also the effect on this proceeding.
And, Your Honor, the government's position is that the warrant's effect on the actual federal case, the charges that he pled to, possession with intent to distribute cocaine, which those warrants had no effect and no bearing on the possession with intent to distribute case, that was the result of testimony that would have come from an informant and a search of the defendant's vehicle by Tucson Police Department when they pulled him over. There was no warrant issue even regarding the drug case other than the fact that it provided some probable cause to go into his house.
And do we have any findings or statement by the district judge to say that he agrees with you on that point?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because I don't think that issue was squarely before the district court. The district court was only concerned with what the appellant said at the district court level, which was that he wanted to challenge the sufficiency of those warrants for the state case through a 2254, which he right. can't do.
So as far as what we've got here in front of us, the district judge hasn't told us what he might think about the actual Fourth Amendment challenges. Were they in front of him in federal court?
Your Honor, I see that I'm out of time. May I just answer your question?
Of course.
Yes, Your Honor, that question was not before the district court because that was not a basis of the motion to withdraw. However, the government's position would be that those issues were waived clearly as part of the plea agreement.
Okay. And the plea agreement from which you're seeking to withdraw.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so where during anything in front of the district court does he say, not only am I concerned about what might happen in state court and with my state convictions, but I'm also concerned independently with what might happen to me here in federal court?
I'm looking at page 9 of the transcript of the hearing to withdraw.
And where is that in the front of what I, in terms of what I've gotten? At page 19 of the ER.
This is where the court's discussing, having had Mr. Kendall talk. He says, you know, Judge Roll is saying it's an indirect way to attack the search warrants. If the defendant had a question about the warrants, the way it's done is a motion to suppress. You don't plead guilty. He's baffled as to why there's a necessary showing.
Right.
So I believe that.
That's what the district court says. What's Mr. Kendall say? Does he say anything about he's interested in what happens here in the federal court as an independent matter?
I'm not sure that he does directly.
Does he say anything indirectly? Is there a sort of an oblique hint? I mean, is there anything at all?
I believe he makes it clear. It's hard to read so quickly. I believe he makes it clear to Judge Roll that the reason the defendant wants to withdraw is because he understood he had a right to challenge his Fourth Amendment claims. And that by itself, I think, is enough.
Okay.
He doesn't have to say more under the fair and just reasons.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank both sides for your arguments in this case. United States v. Gilliland now submitted for decision.